Welcome to Tom Rhodes Radio, and greetings from Rome, Italy. My wife and I have been on vacation all this week. That's why there hasn't been an episode coming out. We've been hanging out at the Pantheon, at the Trevi Fountain, drinking lots of wine, and walking all over Rome and enjoying the light on the buildings at the end of the day and the way the sunset looks over St. Peter's Basilica. Sorry, I've been a little too busy to put out a new episode. But a few hours ago, I got a tweet from Graham in Glasgow, Scotland, who says, "Come on, Mr. Rhodes, where's the new podcast? We're all waiting." So hey, Graham, my wife and I stayed in on our last day in Rome to edit today's episode, so you can enjoy it. I appreciate your loyalty, I appreciate your nice message, and I appreciate all of the great, sweet messages I get from people all over the world telling me how much they enjoy my podcast. So here's the new one. I hope you enjoy it. This episode was recorded last year in Nashville, Tennessee. I started out as a comedian working the Southern circuits, and when I was very young, I worked with Faye Woodruff, the grandmother from hell. Faye traveled with her husband Joe as a comedian after he retired. I worked with her in Mobile, Alabama. She's the grandmother from hell because she looks like this sweet old woman, and she gets on stage and her jokes are absolutely filthy. She's had an incredible life. She held up a comedy club at gunpoint that didn't pay her, that you're going to hear later in this episode. My grandmother died when I was very young, and I've always really loved Faye and felt like she was kind of a grandmother figure to me. And I stopped off in Nashville last year when I was driving back to Florida from Chicago and visited somebody that I love very much in my life. And I'm sure you're going to love her a lot after you hear this episode. And it is my pleasure and proud honor to present to you now the one and only Faye Woodruff. Faye Woodruff, ladies and gentlemen. Faye Woodruff, the grandmother from hell. A Southern comedy legend. So how did you come up with the moniker Grandma from Hell?
Well, Michael Alfano in Chattanooga did that.
He thought of that?
He did it.
Oh.
And gave it to me. It was the first time I worked at club. Well, I went there to audition, and Michael said, "I've had a date from hell, a car from hell, and a waitress from hell, and I do believe we found the grandmother from hell." And I always used it, and I always treasured it. And Michael recently retired me, and I was devastated.
Well, there's life after Chattanooga, is that what you told me?
Yes. Yes, I moved around here, and somebody said, "Look, there's life after Chattanooga, go find it." And, of course, I did, and Michael called and asked me to come back, and I promptly told him no, that I couldn't come back.
And you worked at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga for 20 years?
Over 20 years. Mm. Cheryl was expecting their first child when I went there.
Wow.
And now that child has graduated from college. And so it was over 20 years, but it was a nice long ride.
What do you think about it? Because, I mean, you're, one of the oldest comedians working the circuits. I mean, what happens? You know, what happens to old soldiers? What happens to old comedians?
We just lay down and laugh and die. We get so old, we fart dust.
I remember we met in Mobile, Alabama.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're the grandmother from hell moniker is so perfect because, you know, you're from Nashville and you got the really sweet Southern accent. And so you see this sweet little old woman walking on stage, and then you got really dirty jokes. So it's like, it was so funny.
I have always loved a dirty joke that just seems my lifestyle. My father would tell me dirty jokes, and he and my mother were divorced pretty early, so I had to be pretty small when he told me.
Do you remember any great dirty jokes your father would tell you?
No, I couldn't tell them here.
Yeah, you can. No restrictions on this show.
I'm the youngest of 9 children, Tom.
Wow.
And time they got to me, you know, I just did as I pleased, and the rest of them toed the mark. But I loved being the baby. And I still do. I have one brother and one sister left, and it's quite remarkable. I was home just about a month ago, less than that, I guess, because my sister-in-law died, and my brother married her 63 years ago. They had been married 63 years. Mm. And I was just a small child when they got married. And we just had a funeral.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm. Time goes on and don't wait for nobody.
Yeah. I just recently started losing people that I loved dearly. I mean, how do you get used to that?
You don't get used to it.
Not at all.
You don't ever get used to it. And my mother's been dead like 57 years right now. And not a day goes by that I don't think of her. And Joe's been dead 16 years.
Wow.
And there's not a day goes by that I don't think of him 20 times.
Joe was your husband, yes. And you guys had the most inspiring love story.
I loved him.
You guys, and I met you, and you were Joe, I guess now. So how did your comedy career start? Like, did Joe retire, and then you started working the road?
No, I started working the road after I retired from Metro Schools. And I said, Joe, I think I can make money doing stand-up comedy. He said, well, damn, that's a knee slapper. And a few years later, he said, they're going to pay you how much to talk nasty? He said, I think I'll retire and go with you. And he did. And it was the fun years, you know.
Yeah, because that's when I met you, and Joe was driving you.
Yeah,
and
driving
you guys,
me around.
Oh, my God. You guys, like, laughed all the time.
All the time.
Such a great couple. And I just loved meeting you. Joe was a hoot. Your husband. Oh, man. I've never seen a woman so happy. He'd always say, he had, like, a lot of great little expressions. Like, yeah, and you were a happy woman. I've never seen a woman so happy.
Right.
And I remember one time I came to Nashville, and it was after Joe had gotten sick, so I know it took a lot of energy for him to do it. But one of the greatest days, he drove me all around Nashville.
Right.
And he showed me all these great, I wanted to see everything Hank Williams.
Right.
So he's showing me, and he showed me a lot of other stuff. We drove by Ronnie Millsap's house.
Right.
He didn't see us.
Uh-huh. Ronnie didn't see us.
He was blind. He took me to all these great. So just to hear Joe's country music history of Nashville. And he showed me Hank Williams' house where he lived. And I remember he said, Audrey fucking around on him is what ate him up.
That's what ate him up. You know what?
And I always listen to Hank Williams. I always think about that sentence.
You know that Tammy Wynette died in that house.
That's
where she lived. And she died.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know that.
Just amazing.
You grew up in Nashville. Do you love country music?
I absolutely live, sleep, eat, and breathe country music.
Who's your all-time favorite?
Ray Price, but I sure do like Dolly. Dolly's got the prettiest little face I ever saw. She is just so American.
Yeah.
And I just love her, but...
I remember because I was singing because we went to the Country Music Hall of Fame today, and so I was singing that Heartache by the Numbers,
yeah.
And you go, that's Ray Price.
That's Ray Price. I know Ray Price was a big person in his prime, and Waylon Jennings, and of course, he passed on, and Tammy Wynette passed on.
What do you think about people like, you know, because today's country music is so, like, kind of... commercial and bubblegum pop, you know, could Waylon Jennings Earl Merle Haggard make it in today's country music?
Absolutely.
They'd be like, you've been in jail?
Absolutely. They could make it anywhere.
We met in Mobile, Alabama.
We did.
And I remember the you know, wasn't the greatest gig in the world. I mean, it's bad enough you're playing in Mobile. And I think it's kind of why we bonded when we met, because we got chumped around by the owner woman.
Yeah. Well, I think she just worked there, but she chunked us around and docked us $50 for being late one night. And, because we had gone by the drugstore and got lost. You had to take something back. And
so it was my fault we were late.
Yeah, it's your fault.
But, sorry, Faye.
Well, that's all right. I couldn't have got there without you because we wouldn't have known the way. So
you could have had a much bigger career in Mobile if I hadn't sabotaged it for you.
Oh, it's been big enough, Tom. It's the height of it right now with you in my living room. This is just the height of comedy. It's one of my favorite
memories. The woman docked us $50 each.
Yeah.
And this is, oh my goodness.
And you were not late. See, I got you there on time, but she had put that girl on stage to open. I was the opener. And you jumped up about that high and said, that fat bitch couldn't make $50 on a naval base in a night. Well, she did. She made $50 that night. She made $100. She docked me $50 and you $50.
And paid that other girl.
Paid that other girl.
Damn it.
I bet she talked that girl into doing that for free and kept that $100. Well, anyway, I worked some really good clubs.
But wait, tell the revenge you got on that woman.
Oh, well, I stole stuff out of the club.
You're leaving with
ashtrays and
drinking glasses.
And toilet paper out of the bathroom and paper towels. And she was sending a waitress next door to Food World to buy toilet paper and stuff. And I told her I'd watch whoever it was. And you remember I stole that fruit thing from the bar. It had oranges and cherries and whatever else it had. So that whole thing. And oh, it was delightful. We got paid on Saturday night, and Tim had come to join us on his motorcycle, and I took them out there and flipped my trunk to that red Lincoln I was driving, and I said, I got my $50. Tom and Tim thought that was funny.
No, it's funny. My friend Tim drove up from Auburn on his motorcycle.
He did.
All the way to Mobile.
And it was all right.
So what are your favorite memories about doing the road?
Well, back when I first started doing the road, I was into mischief. That was as long as Joe lived. That stopped in 1996 when he died, because Joe could get me out of whatever I got into. And we were working Key West, Florida, and I pulled in down there and started getting my stuff out of the car, and there was a talking bird in
a parrot in
the apartment in front of it. So every time I'd go by the window, that parrot would say, fuck you. And I'd heard that so much till I decided there wasn't nobody at home but me and that parrot. So I put a chair right outside of the window, and that parrot was right on the inside, and taught that parrot to say, shave my pussy with a straight razor. And it took all day. And finally, the people come home, and out it comes. Shave my pussy with a straight razor.
Shave my pussy with a straight razor.
That parrot was so cute. Oh, and other memories I've had. Of course, I robbed a comedy club, you know, that didn't pay me. That was in jail.
And you went to jail. You're like a Bonnie and Clyde kind of character.
That jail was great. It was a
But deep, no, did anybody in Key West find out about the parrot? They never knew.
We never knew.
They never knew that you taught the parrot to
look at me, you know, I look like a Sunday school lady when I have my makeup on and I'm sort of fixed up. And nobody in Key West ever knew. The people in the front apartment was raised cane and accused each other and maybe had a shooting over it or something, but we never got involved in it. And we left when that gig was up. But that comedy club that didn't pay us now.
Yeah, I want to hear about this. This is Jacksonville, right?
That was Jacksonville. It was actually Jacksonville Beach, down on the beach. And
the fancier side of Jacksonville.
The fancier side. But my time was at the Duval County Jail in Jacksonville.
Well, let's hear the story before you go to jail. What happens?
Well, we'd done our show. I was working with Kay Dodd. She was a sweetheart. I just saw her recently. And she's into all kind of Christian kind of stuff, you know, like me. And and we come off stage, and the man said he wasn't paying us. Well, finally they said they'd pay us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But why should we have to stay over a whole day to get paid? He wasn't going to pay us, period. He wasn't coming back there at 3 o'clock. And so I took the money out of the cash register. I took it all.
Wait a minute. You're missing an element. You came back with a gun.
Well, you
didn't just like saunter in and take money out of the register. I want to hear the step by step. What happened?
Well,
so he says he's not going to pay you.
He's not going
to
pay
you. And you go out to the car and get a gun, right?
They said I did. I never did admit to that gun part. But
so what did you do? But did you come in pointing it at him, or did you show it to him later?
I guess I showed it to him later. But they showed me.
So what'd you say to the guy? You said, you're going to pay me.
I said, I'm getting my money. I opened a cash register, got every penny. And
well, were you pointing the gun at his head when you said that? Or?
It's sort of rumored that I was, okay. But I never have.
Yeah, I'm your friend, fam.
I never have admitted to that gun part now. And so they dialed 911, and the SWAT team from Los Angeles was visiting the SWAT team in Jacksonville. You know, they've got had back then, a SWAT team training camp at Jacksonville.
Wow.
Behind the Ramada Inn.
And finally, they have a reason to do an exercise.
Right. So two SWAT teams and the local police came to arrest me. And they took me to jail. They handcuffed me.
They surrounded the club.
Yeah, and went up on the roof. And they evacuated the rooms on either side of us. And was up on that damn roof.
I knew you were important.
And I had three nights in jail. It was Monday was Martin Luther King's birthday, so they couldn't spring me out till Tuesday. So I had a captive audience that I enjoyed. And as soon as they put the handcuffs on me, you know, I sort of said, which one of y'all will be doing my scratching? Because I didn't think I could reach my parts. They said, all of us. And I said, where the hell y'all been? Two things I've been looking for, y'all, and that Budweiser frog with a long tongue. Yeah, I'm like Disney, son. A world of fun and more than you can do in a day.
I like the fact that you paid the other comedians.
Yeah, of course, they deserved their
money. Because they got screwed, too. So you go in there. Barker. True Grit. Yeah. John Wayne would... And then you took the money out of the register, and they had the money.
Yeah, they had plenty of money.
And paid the other comedian.
And paid the
other
comedian.
So as you're paying the other comedians, there's like SWAT feet are hitting the roof.
They went up on the roof and rappled down, I guess you call it. And it was amazing. And Kay Dodd checked out of her room, and went, Joe was already sick. You know, he was pretty sick. And she stayed in the room with Joe.
Oh, while you were in jail?
Yeah, while I was in jail. Nice. She come to visit me. They knew they wanted to get rid of me real quick, because Kay Dodd and I laughed out loud. And the only bad thing about being in jail, I had to wear that orange jumpsuit. And I don't look good in orange. If I did, I'd get a gig at Hooters. So, anyway, I've been about since then a whole lot. And I've worked a lot of little...
So that didn't damage your I guess that gig was... I never heard of that gig. I guess it was a nothing gig, because I never heard anything, but it didn't, obviously didn't hurt your reputation.
It put me on the map. People that had never worked me called me. And it was delightful. I had a lot of publicity. It made the tabloids and the national news on CNN. And my family's proud. God, they are so proud of me.
Who wouldn't be?
and Joe.
A woman stands up for her rights.
Right. I wanted my money. I had to get home. I didn't have to get home too quick. They kept me in jail 3 nights. It was delightful. And we had a little intercom system on the wall. We could talk to the guard. And, you know, I pressed that button. They said, "What do you want?" "I want to know if I can get in a tanning bed today." And the next day, I pressed it again. "What do you want now?" "I want an Estee Lauder moisturizer to go on my face." "Yeah, we'll have plenty of that, I'm sure." "I guess you'll want perfume to go with it, won't you?" "No, I don't wear perfume. A little something I put behind my ears to attract men is my ankles."
And works every time.
Works every time. And we just, I can't tell you how much fun we had in that jail. And it was all right. The food was all right. It wasn't really delicious, but it didn't make a turd. That's all I.
That's all you really want from your food, isn't it?
I expect
it
to do. And that's some of my worldly travels, Tom.
What are some of the greatest experiences you've had being a comedian?
Oh.
Other than the jail gun-toting years.
Well,
So Chattanooga was your favorite place to play.
Chattanooga was my favorite place to play.
Sarasota, they always loved you?
I love Sarasota. Couldn't talk less into paying enough money, though. You know, it's a funny thing. When a comedian owns a club, that comedian expects great money when he goes out on the road, but he don't want to pay anything at his club. So I just don't get down that far anymore. But I've had a few health problems to slow me down. And
but you've had a remarkable career, though. I mean,
I have.
You know, you never went to Los Angeles or New York like a young comedian and did that whole thing. But, you know, that isn't exactly necessary. But I mean, just as far as being a comedian, you know, you had a really nice career of over 20 years. You've been a comedian. And
I work in Jacksonville, Tennessee, and it's just great. I don't know if you've ever worked that room or not, but it's the South Street Lounge, and it's a great club. It's small, but it's really nice and one of my favorite places. And I work up in Ohio at the Funny Stop. That's where Pete and his brother, Pete and Tony, own that club. And I'm just treated so good there, I don't know how they could do anything else for me. And I used to work Birmingham, and that was a wonderful club too. And Huntsville had a great club in it for a long time. And I just love going places. I'm just getting too old to do this stuff, and decided I'd embark on something new.
What are some of your greatest jokes that you think you ever wrote?
None.
Really? I mean, stuff that you just were the most proud of, that, you know.
Well, you know, Joe, I never did meet folks in the club. If there was nice people come into the club and celebrities in the club, I never did meet them. Joe met them. And he'd just come back and tell me about them because I didn't want to talk to him. I just always wanted to go to the room. But I toured for a long time with Susan Smith. And do you know Susan Smith? Mm-mm. Remember her? Well, she's just the greatest. She and Marge Takacs went on together, and they do real good, I understand. And she's real nice. And I don't know. I never have done a lot of kissing ass to get where I was going. Everybody knows that, you know. They always know. And I met Aubrey Pippin. Aubrey Pippin used to have a lot of work, and he was just the best. He had clubs in
Savannah. I never worked for him, but
Savannah,
I remember you telling me about
Augusta,
the
Greenville, South Carolina, and Macon, Georgia, and Ocala, Florida.
Hmm.
And he paid a lot, and he took care of me. He was probably the nicest booking agent that I met in this business. I never have worked for the Comedy Zone, because Jeff Chester, when I got into this business, Jeff Chester worked for the Comedy Zone and booked people. And he said, and I sent a tape. I called him up, and Jeff said, we didn't get it. And I sent another tape and called Jeff up. Well, we didn't get it. So he said, send another tape by FedEx, and I'll get it tomorrow about 3:00. Call me the next day and we'll discuss it. And I didn't send it. I did not even leave this house. Called him up and he said, great tape. That line bastard.
I loved it.
That line. That was a line bastard. No, I never worked for them. And take but one lie. Now, Joe thought that was funny.
That's hilarious.
And then, of course, I went along and I worked with Karen Mills. I don't know if you know Karen or not, but she's from Chattanooga. And Janet Williams is from Chattanooga. And there's a fellow by the name of Big Ed Kaler. He's from Chattanooga, and he is so funny. He worked with me a lot. And I worked with Gary Bennett from Chattanooga a lot. Now, Gary Bennett got out of comedy a few years back, and I really hated to see him go. I liked his whole family. And we worked, I don't know, telling where, somewhere in Oklahoma. We did a one-nighter, and they did a spread in the paper about me. So next morning, we go to eat, and we're at a little booth, you know, sort of, I'm on one side, and he's on the other. And you would know that the woman behind him was a pain in the ass, because the waitress would get a running start and set her food down before she could say anything. They'd be all the way across the room. And so Gary went to buy a paper. And when he come back, I said, ask that nice lady where the newspaper office is. He couldn't eat his food. She talked nonstop and asked him, would you go on over on the highway with her to fix her truck? And we went to the newspaper office. it was upstairs. So I climbed up the steps, and there was a man coming down, and I said, "That's my husband in that Lincoln. We don't know where we're going. Could you go over there and help him find where we were supposed to go?" And that man went over there and opened the door and got in. Oh, I laughed. I was sinful to laugh as much as I laughed. So I got the newspapers, went back down to the car, and thanked the man. And then...
Oh, you stole the papers while you told him to go to the car and help your husband.
No, I went upstairs and bought the papers. That was just another person coming down the steps. I don't know who it was, but he didn't know much either. And we headed for Muncie, Indiana. And Gary said, "Now I want to tell you something. If we need directions, I'll do the picking." I said, "Well, I think that's a good idea." We get in Muncie, and we see a man cleaning up around a service station. So Gary pulls up, and that man is right on the side of my car. I roll down the window, and Gary said, "Could you help us find the Roberts Radisson?" He said, "Guess you go down to the third light and go north." No, and then he erased it from his hand and said, no, you go south. And the man that owned the service station just sort of inched him out of the way. And I told Gary when we left and found the Roberts Radisson, I said, "Damn, that worked out good. You finding the person to ask was just great." Oh, we're down in Florida on Interstate 4. Not with Gary, I was with Joe. I call him the fool. And we kept seeing the name of a town come up on the signs about that long. It starts with a T, and it's Thonto Massasis or some shit like that.
Thonatasasa. I don't know how to say it either. Yeah, it's really long. Thonatasasa.
We got there and stopped for lunch. Joe said to the waitress, "I want you to say the name of this place and say it real slow so we'll be able to pronounce it." And she said, "Waffle."
Waffle House.
Rub my bottom and make a wish. Another Polk County graduate's hit the big time.
You and Joe laughed constantly. What are some of the best laughs that you had with Joe?
I don't know. I can't think of really anything.
God, I loved Joe. He was good fun, too. Joe and...
he was a good audience.
A drink and a smoke with him after shows when we met.
Yeah, he was my heat in the winter and my shade in the summer. And I wish he were still here, but I can't do nothing about it. And so I promised him I would go on, and I have, as long as I could. And we were talking about the country music artist a while ago. You know, Emmylou Harris is a super country music singer.
Yeah.
I really like the old.
Old country.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Country. I like to.
That's what I like. I don't like the newer stuff.
I don't either. I like everything.
Jimmy Rogers, Hank Snow, like old stuff.
And
Lefty Frizzell, baby.
Loretta Lynn and Kitty Wells, you know. I like them. And, you know, everything changes, so I guess country music has changed.
But what was that like growing up in Nashville? Like, you're a teenager. Man, this was like, shit, you must have... run into Johnny Cash at the store and
I didn't grow up in Nashville.
Seen George Jones all coked up in the '70s.
I saw George Jones when he's on his way from a gig somewhere going to a whiskey store. But I didn't grow up in Nashville. I grew up in Lawrenceburg. It's about 80 miles down I-65, and I had a brother that was so ugly when he was born. Mama barred a baby to have pictures made. We carried him around.
That's ugly. Shit.
We carried him around upside down for about 3 weeks. Thought he just had one eye. And we just grew up and worked the crops. But I didn't come to Nashville till I got out of high school. Joe grew up in Nashville. And he loved it. He always liked Nashville. And I do too. I've always liked everything about Nashville. And the country music is just a icing on the cake. Of course, Nashville was small when I came here. We didn't have all these interstates and big buildings and stuff like that. And it's changed a lot. I guess I've lived through a lot since I've been here more than 50 years. I've lived through the busing and the building of the interstates. And
you remember the old busing segregation?
Mm-hmm.
Really? White right. people going ape shit?
Right, they were. And
did you see The Help? The movie last year?
I don't like movies.
You don't like movies?
I never have been. I've been. When I grew up, we had a theater downtown. Uh-huh. And it never did appeal to me to go and sit in a dark place and behave myself. Plus,
that's it. You have to be quiet for an hour and a half. You hate movies.
And you had to pay for that shit, you know. I wouldn't pardon my money. And I've seen about 10 movies in my whole life.
Really?
In my 73 years, I could probably... I saw The Graduate. Every movie I've seen, I saw with Joe Woodruff, just about. The Graduate and Mad, Mad, Mad World. And I think the name of that movie was Midnight Cowboy.
Everybody's talking.
Right.
That's great. Harry Nilsson song.
Uh-huh. And before...
You got to get rid of that cowboy western wear. Strictly for faggots. I forget the line in the movie. Ratso Rizzo, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Tells John Voight he's wearing the cowboy. He goes, it's in the 70s in New York. You got to get rid of this cowboy outfit. That's strictly for faggots. Like only gay guys in New York were dressed like cowboys in the 70s.
And that was my favorite part, was Ratso going to the South on the bus.
Yeah. He never makes it to Florida.
No, he died on the way.
Died on the Greyhound bus.
And before Joe died, he told me to promise him that I'd watch two movies. And one was Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, God.
He said I'd have to watch it all. He said, don't watch it when it's after it starts. You have to know it's coming on.
Yeah.
And watch it all the way through. And I did.
Wow.
And the other one was Lonesome Dove.
Damn good movie.
And
yeah, Robert Duvall.
I never have watched it.
You haven't watched either one of those?
I watched Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, what'd you think of that? It
was all
that right. Must have appealed to your jailbird days.
Yeah, it was all right. But I never
That's
had.
Another movie about, like, Ratso Rizzo wants to get out of New York and go to Florida. This guy wants to get out of jail and go to Zihuatanejo in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Shawshank Redemption was all right, but I never have... watch Lonesome Dove. I just never have had the time.
What's your favorite movie out of the 10 that you saw?
Mad, Mad, Mad World.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Looks like there's like a big cast in it, mm-hmm. right? Sid yeah. Caesar, all these different
everybody,
people. Mel Brooks. And...
Everybody is in that.
What's the biggest, I mean, you know, I see this myself, and I'm in my 40s. Like, how much the world has changed. Like, you're talking about the busing and the freeways coming. You know, what do you think have been the best changes in living, and what have been the worst?
Well, I think the worst change is the time. When they change the time in the spring.
Spring forward.
And I spring forward, and I lose an hour. But then I gain it back in the fall because somebody decided to do this, you know, and there ain't no reason to change it. I'd like to stay on the same time all the time.
Yeah.
We did when I was a kid. And I guess I don't really know of anything. I think they've changed for the good. Everything seems to be for the bad because the politicians did it. And they're so full of shit. Nudie and tootie and fruity and all that stuff.
Nudie, tootie, and fruity. you know. That's the Republican front runners.
That's the front runners. I mean, that is the front runners.
What has been the greatest advice you've received as a comedian or just as a person?
To not worry when I go on stage because the people paid when they come in. They're not going to get their money back no matter what I do. So they can laugh or they can pout. It don't matter. And just don't worry about them.
What's the best laugh you've had lately?
Joe come in that back door one day and said, I'm the most unlucky man that ever lived. If it rained pussies, first one I grabbed it already have a dick in.
That's bad luck.
And I do this little joke in my show that said I've slept with so many little people like you that I had a tattoo of a ruler put right on the inside of my thigh. You must measure from here to ride the silver pony. And on the inside of my other thigh, I've got the tattoo of a little seashell. You look real close, you can smell the ocean.
Damn it. The grandmother from hell.
Right here in the flesh.
You love dirty jokes. I love that.
I have always loved dirty jokes. And life at its worst is not all bad. And I don't know why the Lord's left me here, except I guess he's just not ready for all my dirty jokes. I'll probably be around.
God's waiting for you to clean it up a little bit.
I'm going to clean it up. And a woman in Ocala, Florida said to me one time, me and a friend of mine had come to visit me, and she said, are you one of those people in there doing that dirty show? And I said, oh, yes, ma'am. I thought she was going to tell me she enjoyed it. That woman said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? And I said, well, I might when I die. If you're getting up a load to go today, go on. Don't save me a seat. And she was just a guest.
So how did you decide to become a comedian? I mean, and you know, you started later in life. I think that's really fascinating. You worked in the school system. So what did you do? I mean, you were like a guidance counselor or something, right?
I worked in an office. I was a secretary. And I wanted to embarrass my husband's family. They're all Church of Christ. And I just really needed to embarrass them. But when I was the secretary to a assistant principal at Antioch High School, this teacher by the name of Ms. Woods brought a little boy in there. He was a little bitty fella to be in high school. She said, tell Mr. Gibson when he comes back to his office that I don't want this young man in my room till he cleans up his mouth. He's been cussing all day. Well, Mr. Gibson gets back, and I told him what she said. And he told the boy, come on in his office. So he talked to that boy real nice, you know, just like told him he could not be cussing in public. And that boy looks across the desk and said, Mr. Gibson, I don't think I can quit cussing. And Mr. Gibson said, get up, clean out your back pockets and bend across my desk. and he kept his paddle locked up. This was back in the 70s. And he unlocked that door and got out his paddle, and he wore that little boy's ass out. And he said, "Now tell me, do you feel any different?" He said, "Hell yes, now my ass hurts."
You remind me, you must have been like, because there was always like really, you know, a couple of cool ladies working in the office where you could, you know, they'd give you a note, you could get out of school, and you must have been that person who corroborated a lot of criminal teenage mischief.
And out of school, go home, watch the soap operas.
Do you ever fear that parrot's going to find you one day?
In the afterlife.
Shave my pussy with a straight razor. And
that parrot's going to do that. Oh, there's some funny things.
You've done a lot of funny. Can you think of any other mischief?
Well, I worked with Susan Smith, and we were in a Cracker Barrel up in Virginia somewhere. And she's across the table from me, and she got choked. And the crowd gets real quiet.
Oh, like a chicken bone or something.
And she made beautiful jewelry, and she never would let me have any. So I got that rose up out of my chair, and they thought I was going to do something. I said, "If you die, I get your jewelry." She got her breath real quick. And the woman next to us called the waitress over and said, "Don't bring my food out till these hillbillies leave."
Really?
Damn. We said, "Bring us a menu. We are ready to eat some of everything." We kept eating.
Oh. Damn, really? Woman in Virginia said that?
A woman in Virginia said, "Don't bring my food out to Lee's Hill." And she took her thumb and pointed right at us. Well, don't question who she's talking about. She's talking about Susan. I'm sure she wasn't talking about me. "Don't bring my food out to Lee's Hill, bitch. Get out of here."
Who do you think are the greatest Southern comedians of all time?
Well,
who are the best comedians that you've ever seen that you've ever worked with?
Well, I'd say Jeff Foxworthy, and you, and I haven't worked with Jonathan Winters, but he certainly is at the top of the list. And Bob Newhart.
Loved Bob Newhart.
You know, he was sincerely unique.
Yeah, he was a scream. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite bits of all time is the Night Watchman at the Empire State Building, the night that King Kong climbs on the building. I love that joke.
Oh, he was too funny.
Now, surely you've had people get offended at your stuff, right? Because I've had people get offended at the least.
Yeah, they get offended.
What do you think about people that go to comedy shows and get offended by words?
Well, they're just words. And if you're easily offended at... you'll be offended at my show. And if you're not easily offended, you'll be offended at my show. And so y'all need to just check your hats and come on in. My comedy's not for everybody. And if they were passing out wings, they wouldn't give me any. So I don't guess they would you either, Tom. I just couldn't see any wings growing back here. But I tell you what, I've had a good ride, and if anybody's had any more fun than I have, they've done something.
Yeah, you've had a good fun life.
So
what's, do you have any words of wisdom or any advice you could give to people about living? Or?
Well, no matter what kind of financial shape you're in, and times are hard, but times are hard for everybody. So if you'll just go to a comedy club and laugh a night or so, I believe that'll help you through the rough spots. And don't expect people working the clubs to be clean, because Lord have mercy, if I had to be clean, I don't know what I'd do. I would never work a club.
Well, but it always kills me. Like, people like go, oh God, why don't you, you know, if I had a clean set, I wouldn't be playing this shithole.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And
some of these rooms, you can't do anything else.
Right. I feel like the grandmother from hell is a pretty good warning shot.
Yeah, if that doesn't... If that doesn't clue you in...
then there's no clue in them in. So, I mean, I worked... it seems like all of my... All my memories happened down in Florida. We were down in Florida, probably Vero Beach. Mayor Francis was with me, and... we go in, and there's a group of little gray-haired ladies. Them blue-haired ladies get on my nerves down there now. And they were just lined up around the table, and I said, what are those old blue-haired women doing in here? And a man said, they come in here to watch your show because they think you're like Minnie Pearl. I had news for them. So there was a woman that had a kid, I don't know what age he was, right close to the stage, and I was working with another man, and they all stayed for my show, and she sent that little boy out, and she assured the manager before that he had heard everything. So those women got up and left after my show. And this fella started his show from the back of the room. He said, where's that little fucker out there? Get that little fucker back in here. He was in here for Grandma's show. I want him to see mine. I've never been so tickled. Them women put their headlights on bright and went right up at the... And he said, is anybody else on their bus? And I said, I raised my hand. Have we done it?
Almost. So obviously dirty jokes have brought you great joy in your life.
Absolutely.
And brought you a good career.
Clean jokes have brought me some things too, but I just don't remember them. But life has brought me you as a friend. Mm-hmm. It's one of my greatest possessions to call you friend. I hope you do wonders. I want you to just do great and have just all doors open up to you. I can't open them all, but if I could, I would.
I appreciate that, Faye, and your friendship has been one of the greatest treasures I've known in this life. And I'm just, and that, you know, doing comedy, I got you in my life.
Aww.
And I just love knowing you. And do you have any words of wisdom for anybody of the earth?
If you're starting out in this business, just approach it like you are as good as anybody else. And you will be.
Fantastic. Faye, it's so good to see you again, darling.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I love you to death. And will you say it just one more time? Shave my pussy with a straight razor.
Yeah, shave my pussy with a straight razor.
Teach that to your parrot. All right, Faye. I love you, baby.